As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2022. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2022.
Thanks, Steve. It's great to be with you.
It's been a while since we chatted, so I thought maybe you could bring us up to date on a few things. You know, the city council has put the budget to bed, as we say, for the coming year. How would you characterize this spending plan?
Well, it's a strategic plan. It's one that positions us for some program growth and to address some needs that have been with us for a long period of time. And we're somewhat blessed that our economy has rebounded better than we anticipated post-COVID, and we had the ability to do some things that the public has asked us to address, I would say, for the last at least 10 years, especially during the time we were in recession. I'd love to talk about some of those.
Well, and you talk about rebounding, the economy rebounding. That has an impact, what, a sales tax, revenue on revenue side?
Almost all of our revenue sources have come back to 2019 levels or pre-COVID levels. We had substantial growth in the property tax as well as the sales tax, but we saw some good revenues in our utility franchise fees and some of the other major fee categories that feed into our budget.
Did federal dollars help keep this budget balanced?
Yeah, immensely. In fact, I'm not sure what we would have done without the federal dollars for COVID relief. We received about $71 million in ARPA funds, and that allowed us to move forward with some capital projects to backfill for early revenue losses that we experienced in 20 and 21. And then to put $20 million back into the community to help jumpstart economic growth, housing growth, and deal with some food insecurity issues.
And what is let's look at the bottom line on the budget. How much is the budget for 1 year as far as just?
So our entire budget is about $624 million. Our general fund budget, which finances a lot of our basic services, that's about $276 million of that 624.
Does the city actually carry any debt?
Yes, we do.
Why? And what's that for? I mean,
well, because we finance projects that have long lives. And for instance, when we build a street, that street should have a life expectancy of about 50 years. And it doesn't make sense to use all current dollars for an asset that will have such a significant life. If we used only our current revenue streams, we wouldn't be able to move forward with a lot of the capital projects that our residents ask us to accomplish. And that would be especially in areas like streets, some park improvements.
So actually, you incur that in the capital fund then, huh?
Right, exactly. And it's no different than getting a mortgage on your house, right? It would be impossible for most of us to be able to buy our houses if we had to pay cash on day one for the house.
Now, how much did the city increase pay for police officers and firefighters?
If I remember, Steve, I think it was about, well, we're just finishing negotiations on firefighters. With police, I think it was a 4% increase along with what we call step movement, which for many employees that are newer with us would be an additional 2.5%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so is there a danger of a shortage of public safety workers, in other words, fire and police?
I don't know that I use the word danger, but yes, we are facing challenges in terms of getting both new police officers as well as new firefighters. In the police department, the problem is a little more unique in that our recruiting classes aren't as big as they used to be, but we're getting more in the door than maybe some other departments, but we're having a hard time retaining them after, say, 2, 3, 4 years. And so when we built our contract with our police union, we had some signing bonuses that, or actually they were retention bonuses, to make sure that we could keep talented police officers and get them well established into careers.
What about other city employees? You have more job openings than usual. The labor market seems a little weird right now out there.
It really is. We're like every other employer, whether small or large, right? Our pools of when we recruit for open positions are a lot smaller. We are carrying, I think it's over 250 open positions right now. And these are positions that are authorized in the budget. The money is there, but we're just struggling to get qualified candidates to come in and to fill those vacancies.
And it seems so weird because the local, quote, unemployment rate is just a little over 3.5%. And it's, but where do we have enough people out there to fill the jobs in our economy?
Well, I think a couple of things happen. Obviously, you know, we've read a lot about how the pandemic changed people's view of work and work life balance. And so people are looking for something a little different in jobs. But on top of it, we do have a low unemployment rate. And so just like the aviation companies, we're struggling to make sure that we can get people who find our work attractive and are willing then to come and hopefully commit to a career with us.
Oh, I know several guys who, friends, people my age that got in the fire department 20, 20, 30 years ago and really had second jobs, made a fine living, and with good benefits, and retired after about 20 years. They're not dumb people. I mean, that's a good good way to go for some folks, you know?
Well, I wasn't sure where you're going with your comment, but I would tell you that when we do citizen surveys, the fire department gets the top ranking usually from our public. People really value the work that our firefighters do, and I think it's a great profession. And the issue that we had this year as we sat down with the union was making sure that we had competitive pay and comparable pay so that we were paying as well or better than other cities in Kansas. And, we're the largest city in Kansas, and we should take that seriously when we're establishing compensation. And when there's such a competition for the talent pool that's out there, we need to be an employer of choice, and that means you have to have a good pay and benefit plan.
Let's go back to capital improvements. So several millions earmarked. What exactly does that cover? I know it's streets, but what else does it cover?
Well, streets and bridges and park improvements and our public buildings, which includes, for instance, upgrades to our branch libraries. That's an example of something that was put in the capital improvement this year. On the park side, we're going to put in a new pickleball complex down on the south side in South Lakes Park, and that will provide more opportunities for a growing sport, both for the local players as well as to attract regional events. But then what I think people forget is we also have significant expenses in our capital program for water and sewer. And we are building one of the most significant water treatment plants right now in the country. And we are also going to make substantial upgrades to our sewage treatment plant in the next few years. And those are, like I said, massive projects, and will require significant capital dollars. But we can't forget what's underground, and so we have to make sure that we keep putting money back into our water and sewer mains.
I got to have the pipes for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, and it was my next question. The water plant, when is the completion date projected for that?
We've got, if I remember, at least another year and a half before that's complete.
Really? Another year and a half? Wow. Okay. Well, I've watched it out there. I see it from time to time when I go out to the west side, and it's amazing. That's going to be quite a structure. I wonder.
It really is. I mean, it's over $500 million, so that'll give you some feel for scale. But it's overdue in terms of its need, and we have to have a facility that is state-of-the-art and that doesn't cause us concerns about ongoing maintenance.
Yes, we look at what's going on with the Colorado River out west, and the water is just it's becoming more and more people, are understanding water is really essential and crucial for every area of the country.
Mm. It is, and I think... So that's water supply, and we've done a lot for drought planning, and I'm a lot more confident today than maybe even 10, 12 years ago on our ability to go through a multi-year drought and still have ample water for our residents and our businesses. But I'm also concerned about the infrastructure itself, and that's why we're putting so many dollars into it. I look at what's happening, for instance, in Jackson, Mississippi right now.
Yes,
and it's been weeks since they've been able to use their drinking water, and we just don't want to get into an incident like that.
You mentioned pickleball. Are you quite a pickleball player then?
I am not, but it's an interesting sport and one that's, as you know, so popular here.
I'm just laughing because I'm wondering where that – it just got bang. It just got popular all of a sudden, and nobody's even invited me to play. Of course, they know that I'm such an athletic such an athletic wonder.
Nobody wants to lose to you. People run away from you. And we'll just say it's because you're so athletic.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Well, you're listening to Issues 2022 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. And if I miss anything, you remind me, okay, because you were saying things you want to talk about. The city has hired a firm to audit, or I say audit our police department. They study it, whatever you want to call it. Is that an indication that the social media controversy involving Wichita cops was botched in some way?
Well, I don't know that it's fair to say it was botched. In fact, we're bringing them in to take a look at maybe lessons learned from that incident. Are there things we could have done better? Are there some checks and balances that should be in place that maybe weren't? But we're looking really on a broader scale. It's an operational and cultural assessment of the department, and is an opportunity for us to look at what we're currently doing and how we can improve it. And I'm hoping that it'll provide a blueprint for the new chief when he or she comes into the department, and gives them some thoughts about possible reorganizations, some new procedures that would be necessary. And what I like about it is, even though it came out of the text messaging incident, it's really more of a proactive project, right? We're not reacting to a specific finding, for instance, by the Department of Justice, which so many cities when they go into a project like this, that they're forced to do it because of outside review and a requirement by a federal agency.
Now, how will that investigation be done? In other words, will the people be, or the audit, will they be able to come in and talk with the rank and file off the record, things like that?
Yes, that's key, is that they have to be able to get input from people in the department, our rank and file, other employees in the department, but just as importantly, talk to members of the community and get candid feedback from them regarding their perceptions, their interactions with the police department, their recommendations for how we should go forward.
What will you do with the conclusions of the audit then?
Well, once we
put it in a big file cabinet and leave it someplace.
Right. That's a pet peeve of mine. Most of our big projects that we've had here in the last 10, 11 years, we've made sure that we implement those.
Yeah.
And so we'll once we get the recommendations, we'll categorize all of those, and then we'll probably put on our website and other locations where it's easily accessible to the public some kind of dashboard that will allow them to monitor our implementation of the recommendations.
Now, I want to just talk about the social media for a second. Does the city have a written policy on that and anything on social media for all of your employees?
We do have it, but it's primarily involving the use of social media during work hours.
Yeah.
And I think what you're going to see in the study that's being done for the police department is some recommendation regarding off-duty use of social media, recognizing that we are public employees and that how we are viewed by the public is not just by what we do at work, but what we do in our personal lives. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they bring forward in recommendations on social media use, and because it may help guide what we do in other departments as well.
It's amazing because every day we've got news stories about somebody getting in trouble over social media. I don't know if people realize, first of all, that if you put something on there, it goes out there and it stays out there. And secondarily, everybody in the world's got a cell phone camera. You can't hide. You can't do it.
You know, Steve, I think that's so important. And I think there's one other issue here, and that is that many times context is lost in social media. So you could mean one thing and someone can read it and have a completely different interpretation. And so there's a lot of nuance, and we need to remember that as well. You know, people expect a certain behavior out of public officials, out of public employees, and I've always seen that as a compliment. They expect us to be above reproach. They trust us, and they want to trust us. And so we don't want to ever give them an opportunity not to do that.
Now, there's a lot of people out there, many people who say you can't trust the government at any level. You've got a good point there.
Yeah.
It's a high bar. Are you making any progress in hiring a new police chief then?
Yeah, we're moving along. The application deadline was the end of last week, if I remember correctly. And we have a consulting firm that's helping us with the process. They, if you remember, they had a pretty rigorous process at the front end because they asked for community input and departmental input on the ideal candidate and what the attributes should be for that person. Put together all of that into a profile of the job and then use that for recruitment. And they are now reviewing the applications. We'll bring forward a series of, or they'll bring forward a recommendation on semifinalists, and I'll be working with a citizens committee to review their recommendations, probably to look at all the candidates to make sure that we're not missing someone in the process. And then that panel, that committee, will help me interview the semifinalists. And then that will happen in September, and then in early October, we will have the finalists here in town, and then they'll have an opportunity to visit with a few groups in the community and the mayor and council and then the selection committee again, and then we'll have a public forum in the evening where each candidate will have an opportunity to field questions from those that attend the forum. And we have a tentative date for that. I think it's October 10th, if I remember correctly.
Tell us about the impact of the COVID pandemic on City Hall. Just a general statement.
It hit us in phases like it did everyone else, right? So we had to learn as we were moving forward. Early on, it was a matter of how do we keep people safe, and that meant probably closing our facilities, limiting what we were doing in terms of contact with the public. That protected the people we serve as well as our own employees. And then trying to follow the science and moving forward on reopening facilities, bringing back our services, and then restoring and even possibly expanding services as we saw revenues come forward. And we had to make sure that they were sustainable resources before we just jump back into doing business as we did in 2019. But it has made us more adaptable. It has introduced new technologies, which have been embraced by our staff.
Right.
I think they have been very innovative in the way that they've been delivering service in the last couple of years, and I expect to see that moving forward.
What impact is inflation having on city government? You know, we've had several months here of pretty record-breaking inflation.
We're just like every household in Wichita. We're experiencing it in terms of just our daily operations. We leave enough contingency in our budget that we can deal with price fluctuations in goods and services to a degree. If we see increased inflation for another year, that will have even a greater impact on operations. But where we're really seeing it and where we're getting hurt are on our capital projects. Our street projects are coming in significantly higher than they did, say, 2 years ago, but more importantly, even higher than our estimates and the amount of money we put aside. So now we're making some tough decisions regarding the scope of projects or actually putting some projects on the shelf so we can finish the highest priority projects.
What about the impact, if any, about supply shortages? Is that any? You got enough paper clips, you think?
Paper clips are okay. A lot of our office supplies and our what we need in our daily work, we're pretty good there. But again, we're seeing it in our capital projects. We're seeing long delays in some projects. We were really fortunate in the water plant because they bought a lot of their materials on the front end and stored them on site. Mm. Otherwise, we could have experienced very significant delays in the construction of the water plant. But some other projects, like bridge projects, they're going to be dependent on the availability of steel.
Is there one main contractor on that water project?
It's a group called Wichita Water Partners, and actually it's a few groups that came together, a few contractors and engineering firms that are doing the work on the plant.
Okay, I'm out of questions now. Have I covered everything you wanted me to?
Well, we've talked about, I think, all of the most pertinent.
We were talking about this before we started this morning. We're going to swap seats one of these days and let you do it.
It would be great. I think everybody wants to really know who Steve McIntosh is, especially as your career winds down. Some would say that your career was winding down several years ago, but I won't be one of those.
Listen, my career has wound down about four times, so, What are the biggest challenges of your job right now, Bob? I mean, you've been at it for how long have you been to the city?
I've been with the city for 13 years, but I've been doing this business for over 40 years.
Yeah, so what are the biggest challenges day to day?
Well, I think we've talked about some of those challenges. We've had limited resources in the entire time that I've been here. And one of the things that was exciting about this budget is we were able to address some basic neighborhood concerns. We've got the issue of animal control, and that's in certain areas of the city that has been an issue. We haven't had enough people on the street to be able to address dogs and cats that are at large. And sometimes people want to downplay that, but that is a significant issue and concern for residents. We're able in this new budget, we're able to address paving streets. Some dirt streets that have been that way forever, and they're in neighborhoods that are very disadvantaged and probably would never have streets paved otherwise. We're able to embed social workers in the police department. And we all know that mental health issues and a mental health crisis is responsible for many of the incidents that police are responding to. So I'm proud of that. With that alone, I think we'll have nine mental health or social work professionals that will be working in the police department. That's a significant change.
We're seeing that a lot. That mental health issue is that's a big one. What about what is it about the job that gets you going? Do you want to jump out of bed every morning and get to the office?
Well, there's two pieces of it. I got into this to make life better for folks. That was I forget partisan politics, but one of the people that I looked at was John Kennedy and his commitment to public service and the aspiration of a higher calling or a higher purpose in terms of what we do with our lives. So that part of it gives me joy. But I also love working with the team that we have here at the city. And you know, I know it's easy to just look at those folks at City Hall, but if and you know, to kind of look at them in, with disdain, because as you said before, people don't always appreciate government. But we have some wonderful professionals that work here, and I continue to get compliments about the services that they provide. And I, you know, sometimes I just smile because they're going the extra mile to help serve people. I don't like to single any specific group out, but you know, my forestry division, for instance, they continually impress residents. And I can't tell you how many calls and emails I get where people say, you know, we had a dead tree in our front yard. We're really worried about it hitting the house. And we called, and the next day the tree was down. They cleaned up. They were friendly. They came to our door. I mean, it's that kind of service that I just, you know, I'm so happy and proud to be associated with.
That's going to have to be the last word. We're out of time. So,
okay.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Our guest, Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. See you next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.